and welcome to Fighting Back with Frampton. This is a very special Danske Bank Advantage podcast. Resilience has never been more important than it is right at the moment, both in business and in everyday life as we all cope with these very changed circumstances. So who better to talk to than boxer Carl Frampton? North Belfast, born and reared. He's already been world champion at two weights and now has the opportunity to make that three. He's at the top of his game. He's also suffered defeats, though, and setbacks. So how has he dealt with them? What support does he rely on? And what advice would he have for others as they, too, deal with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune? Let's find out today. It's great to have you with us
here
today, Carl.
Good to see you.
Your trainer has described you as the most resilient and mentally strong person and fighter that he knows. Where does that come from?
I don't know, if I'm being honest. I suppose probably through the fact that as a kid growing up, I was always very determined, and I'm a few shares of ups and downs, I had a few losses, but I always knew I had the end goal. Like, I wanted to become a professional world champion. And I was a kid where other kids were potentially, after a loss or a defeat, they would maybe have left or not been in the club for a while. I was always trying to improve and change things. At the minute, I'm involved in a sport and at the very high end of professional boxing. You know, it's a reality. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and you have to look at it like that.
How much of this comes from your self-belief, and how much of it can you build up in the gym? How much of it relies on the training element of it too?
Well, I think I'd say both things are very important. I think self-belief was something that didn't come naturally to me, and I think it was only through boxing and me being involved in boxing that I started to have a self-confidence and a self-belief. That was one of the reasons why I joined a boxing club, actually, was because I was a shy, timid kid. When I went to the boxing club, I was kind of, when we were put into the ring together with the other kids around my area, the loudmouths in the street, I was getting the better of in the ring, and I just felt, it just felt amazing to me. A bit of machoism or whatever you call it. But that was very important. But I think that the training aspect, and when you train hard and you start racking up wins and winning major things, that also brings an element of self-belief to you. So I think both kind of fit alongside each other pretty well.
I mean, you've said in the past that physically you can be in the best shape of your life, but mentally, if you're weak, you're not going to win anything. You need to work on both.
Yeah, you need to be mentally very strong. I remember there was a real turning point in my career where I was an amateur. I lost a fight. It was in the Ulster Senior Championship, so it was in the final, the guy called Ran Lindbergh, who wasn't a bad fighter. I was Irish champion at the time, so I should have been able to win the Ulster Championships as an Irish champion, and it would have sent me to the Commonwealth Games to represent Northern Ireland in Melbourne, I think they were at the time. I lost the fight to this guy, and I remember just having this something in my head, or a thought in my head, like, I lost to him, but I shouldn't have lost. He won the fight fair and square, but if I had been properly prepared, I think I would have won the fight. So that was a turning point for me, whereas I thought, like, I need to dig in here and behave properly, train properly, and it's the only way that I'm going to get to the top, and that's exactly what I wanted to do, and that is what I've done.
I mean, that's very interesting, because when you do go back in time to then, you had a run of bad luck at one stage, three national elite fights that you lost in a row. And for a young fella to bounce back from that and not to just throw the head up and say, I'm going to go and do something else, that's a very mature way to handle things, really.
Yeah, well, I was close to packing it in, if I'm being honest, a few times. So this occasion here, this is when Ryan Lindbergh beat me. There was another massive occasion, and I have to thank my wife Christine for it. I drew a guy in the Irish Championships called Kevin Fennessy, and I should have been beating Kevin Fennessy. I felt like it was a better fighter than him, but he beat me, and he beat me fair and square. I came home and I was upset. I was crying. I was with Christine, she was my girlfriend at the time, now my wife. I remember talking to her and saying, like, if I can't beat these sort of people, what's the point in boxing anymore? I don't see a point in it. She kind of talked me around and talked me into giving it another chance. And I knew I wasn't training properly. I was about 18. I was doing things that 18-year-olds do. I wasn't as completely dedicated as I should have been. So I give it another crack. I drew Kevin Fantasy the next year in the Irish Championships, and his corner threw the towel in. So that was a moment for me where I realised actually bouncing back and being focused and being driven and being determined and training the way I should have been, I know I can succeed.
I mean, boxers need to be confident. Obviously, you need to believe when you're going into the ring that you're going to win the fight. Mm. Have you ever gone into the ring thinking, I could lose this?
Do you know what? There's always doubts. And I think if a fighter tells you that there isn't doubts, then I think they're probably telling lies. You want to win the fight, and you're always confident, and it's important to train. It's important, obviously, to train properly and train hard in the gym in preparation for the fight and make sure you're in the best shape possible. At a fight in Las Vegas, a couple of fights ago only, I went into the fight with a broken left hand. So my hand was broken. It broke in the last spar. People were traveling to Las Vegas. Probably should have pulled out of the fight, but I didn't, and I wanted to fight because I knew people had spent their hard-earned money to come and support me. Broke my left hand going into the fight. That was broken already going into the fight. I then broke my right hand about the seventh round. So I'm in a fight with two broken hands. I won the fight, but mentally, I needed to be so strong. I knew that I was going into a fight with a bad hand and I couldn't do too much damage with this left hand. I couldn't land properly because it was hurting me. And then when the right hand went, I remember coming back to the corner. I didn't even tell my corner, what's the point? What's the point in telling them, look, I have two broken hands here. What am I going to do? And I just had to like grit the teeth and grit it out. And I did that and I won the fight.
You have a very good attitude, it would seem, to all of this. And you've talked quite a bit about mental health over the years and taken part in campaigns on it as well. And, you know, you've shared your views with youngsters and you know, I think this is school assembly that we're seeing here. But that self-awareness and that ability to talk about things like that, that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago, would it? Or, you know, you wouldn't have heard Rindy Monaghan talking about something like that. You know, tough guys just wouldn't have gone there. Why has that changed, do you think?
I don't know why it's changed, but I think it's good, obviously, that it has changed. It's, you know, boxing, a sport where I think people have to be seen as being tough and they put this mask on almost. Not every boxer is a tough guy. You look at, you know, it's almost like that generation, Rinty Monaghan, you talked about, it would have been, if someone had any issues, it would be, give him a kick up the backside, he'll be all right, don't worry about it. But it's had to change, and it has changed. You look at the struggles that Tyson Fury has went through, and he's openly talked about it, and he's openly talked about his depression and the issues that he's had with his poor mental health. And he's been able to overcome that and get to the top. There's sportsmen in all different fields talking about it these days, but it has to be important, and especially in Belfast at the minute. You know, we all know what's going on, especially around North and West Belfast, and there's a bit of a mental health problem, if that's what you want to call it. So I think it's important that people in positions like me and other sports people speak up about it and be honest and help kids who are struggling.
And you've talked as well about the fact that whenever you're maybe at a training camp or maybe there are two or three boxers there, that you're almost like a little kind of support bubble for each other.
Yeah. Prime example, me and a big lad called Stevie Ward train alongside each other. Stevie's from Monkstown. And we're in the same gym in Manchester, so we travel to the gym to train. We stay with each other in a little rented apartment. And I think it's important to do that. I don't mind my own space, if I'm being honest at times, and I like to be alone sometimes, but sometimes that can be hard. So it's good to have someone like Stevie who's feeling the exact same way as I am. He's got a wife at home. He's got young kids that he's missing as well. So we can kind of almost counsel each other and get through it. What's happened now is I haven't been into this new house yet, but my coach Jamie Moore and Nigel Travis, they've bought a house that they're going to put all the boxers in. And I think it shows the type of people that they are. They know that how hard a game it is, and they know how lonely it can be sometimes. So all the boxers in camps, there's maybe five or six of us, are going to be living in this house, which will be just make things a little bit easier for us all.
You like the big brother house?
It will be. We'll all be on top of each other, I suppose. And I'm very, very fussy. It was okay living with big Stevie because Stevie's does what he's told, and he does the dishes and stuff like that. And we keep the house tidy between us. So it'll be interesting to see what the rest of the boys are like, and a girl called Chantelle Cameron, who's going to be there as well. It'll be interesting to see how they how clean they are and how much they look after the house, because that's something that would annoy me, I think.
At the moment, I mean, it's such a weird world that we're all living in at the minute, and for many boxers, their lives have come to a bit of a grinding halt, really, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, there must be a lot of them who just can't make ends meet.
Yeah, it's hard, and you see it, and I think that, you know, the people that don't know this boxing game, you see the big nights, you see the Anthony Joshua and the Tyson Fury fights, and even some of my own fights, the huge crowds, huge TV audiences, but There's a thing in boxing called small hall shows that don't have TV coverage, that rely on ticket sales and people coming to sit down and watch them. There's so many fighters across the UK and Ireland that they rely on this. So they sell tickets, they pay their opponent out of them tickets, they pay a little bit to the promoter, and whatever's left over, they get for themselves. A lot of times they're not earning much. Most of the times they're not earning much. But it's something, and it's a way of making a living. Small hall shows are a thing of the past. You can see now, my last fight, for example, was on BT Sport. But because of the power of BT, they can put it on TV. They don't need a crowd because BT can back it. But the guys that aren't on TV, I really don't know what they're going to do. And there's going to be a lot of guys who pack it in, won't ever box again because they can't afford to do it. They'll have to look for jobs elsewhere, and it's a real struggle for a lot of these people.
Let's talk a bit about the physical challenges that you face. I mean, you've talked about breaking one hand before the match, before the fight, and a second hand while you're actually in the fight. You train pretty hard. Tell us about that.
Yeah, training's hard, and boxing is a hard sport, and I believe it's one of the toughest sports, mentally and physically, in the world. Other people from different sports might disagree, but it's certainly a tough sport, and you need to be in the shape of your life. To get ready to fight for 12 rounds is hard. You get someone from any other sport, we've done it with rugby players and footballers, where you get them in and you hold the pads for them for 3 minutes and they're blown and they're done. Them sports and boxing are a completely different type of fitness, so I understand that, but it shows the reality of how tough boxing is. So the training's grueling, it's demanding, it's years and years of wear and tear, it's years and years of being punched in the head in preparation for a fight. I always have issues with my neck. I've got one now at the minute. My neck isn't 100%. And the chiropractor that I see has put it down to pretty much years of whiplash. Every time you get your head knocked back, it's like a whiplash effect. It's tough. You need to be prepared as best you can for each and every fight that you go into. And I always make sure that I am. There's fights that very, very rarely would you go in 100% fit. There's always a little niggle there. But I always go into the best shape that I can.
How do you keep the discipline? I mean, you must have to be enormously disciplined, and you've talked about the fact that you live like a monk in the run-up to a fight. Mm. How do you do that?
I suppose I'm just used to it, and it's just my life now, and I'm used to going into 12-week training camps. I'm used to being away from my wife and my kids. It's not easy, but it's something that I do. I understand that I have to be this disciplined. And that's why I go to Manchester as well rather than Belfast. I feel like I need to be in a camp, like in a camp environment, and have that sort of mentality and not have home comforts and stuff to get ready for a fight. And I know that being that disciplined, it's all the top fighters in the world are disciplined and they have to make these sacrifices. I also understand that it's a short career, so I'm making all these huge sacrifices now because I believe that, hopefully anyway, that when the time comes to call it a day, I'll be able to relax for a couple of years and not have to do too much.
And when your body doesn't play along, when you talked about the niggles with your neck, you've talked about your hands, you've had that fight when you didn't make the weight. How do you then pick yourself up, motivate yourself to get back into the gym again? Is that even harder?
Well, no, I don't think it is. No? I think it's about you want to just prove people, you know, there's always doubters and there's always people, especially this day and age in social media, and anyone can fire anybody abuse. It didn't used to be like that. But the amount of abuse that people with a bit of a presence, suppose online presence, get is ridiculous sometimes. And I see my fair share of it. It's important to try not to bite for every bit of that you see. But I think that doubters and when you make mistakes, and when, for example, when I missed the weight, and the criticism I got, it didn't make it harder for me to get back in the gym. It was almost like, right, I want to get back in the gym and prove these people wrong, and I want to get a big win after it. And that's the kind of outlook that I have.
Your fans, when you talked about the fans who had paid the money to go to Las Vegas to see you and how you wanted to win that fight for them, you're their hero, really. Who are your heroes? I mean, who do you look up to, either in your sport or elsewhere?
I have a few heroes. So I'll list them off here. Billy McKee is a hero to me. And Billy McKee, not many people will know him. He's my old amateur trainer. And he's a guy who fought my corner since I was 7 years old. He's a guy who I think, I think that I'm a good person. I think with Billy's help, I became a good person. He was always putting his hand in his pocket for me going on international trips as an amateur. Just a great man. So he's one of them. Wayne McCulloch was a hero of mine because he was a boxer in his prime. When I was a kid growing up, he was from Belfast and he's moved out to Vegas. But he was in so many huge fights. And he was always known for having this toughness and real granite chin. Kirk Hunter, an ex-Crusaders player, was a hero of mine. I was a big Crusaders fan. They're heroes of mine. My wife's a hero of mine as well. And I've probably never said that before, but in my opinion, there can't be too many mothers like her on the planet. She's brilliant for our kids. I've been away for so much that I think that she's raised our kids and turned them into good human beings that they are. And it's all down to her. So there may be a few that I'm missing out, but they're the four that I can think of right now.
And what about your family and your community? I mean, you grew up in North Belfast. You use a gym at Monkstown. You still have very close connections there. How much of an importance do they have in your life now?
It means everything to me, and I love getting... So I've been training while I'm at home here. I've been training at Monkstown, kind of pre-camp before I go into a camp for my next fight. But I also get down to my old amateur club in Midland in Tigers Bay as much as I can to see the kids and to train myself, and I like it. I like bringing my kids as well. So the area we live now, it's nice. The kids don't have any real hardship to overcome. Everything's just nice for them. Me growing up in Tigers Bay, my wife growing up in Poldglass, it was a different type of life. So I love to get my kids over with friends in Tigers Bay. I love bringing my kids to Tigers Bay and just kind of saying, on you go, out in the street. Let's see what happens here in the next couple of hours. And they love it too. But community is very, very important to me. And I love the area that I'm from. And I'm very, very proud of where I'm from. And I'll always, always try to give a little bit back.
And I mean, you obviously adore your kids and Christine as well. And You've talked about the fact that they have that comfortable life now, and that you're very proud of where you come from, as you've just said, but you've also said that you really want them to be proud of you.
Yeah. No, I do. I suppose everybody wants their kids to be proud of them, don't they? And I think that, I've done a lot in my career so far. I've won world titles in two different divisions, and I've done a few other things as well, but I'm the only man from Northern Ireland that's won world titles in two divisions. Me, Steve Collins, and Katie Taylor are the only people on the island of Ireland that have won world titles in two divisions. And I know that's something for my kids to be proud of me for, but my next fight will give me a chance to become a three-weight world champion and the only person on the island of Ireland, one of the only Brits as well to ever do it. And I think my kids and everybody else, my family and everyone that's supported me and been there along the way, I think they will all be proud that I've done that, and I'm determined to do it.
And how do they deal with, and your family and Christine as well, deal with the physical effect that it sometimes has on you? When Daddy comes home from work and is fairly battered.
Yeah, no, well, it's not easy for them. The kids are a bit just curious, I suppose. You have lumps and bumps and cuts in your face and bruises. Christine, after I lost to Josh Warrington in what was a pretty brutal fight, Christine has swore that she just can't watch it anymore, so she can't go to watch me boxing. I understand that, and I know Christine, and I know what she's like. Even if she did want to come and watch me fight again, because she said she won't ever go and watch me, she'll stick to that word and stick to her guns, and I don't think she'll ever see me fighting live again. But I understand that. I know I have her support, and I understand the reasons why she won't be able to sit ringside and watch potentially me get beat up again, because that's what can happen in this sport. So it's hard. It's hard for them. The kids are okay at this age. Carla, she's 9 now. She's getting a little, she starts to worry a little bit. The boy, Rossa, who's just about to turn 6, I don't think he cares too much, if I'm being honest.
And you talked about Christine being your hero, and the fact that she says she's not going to watch again live, but she has been an amazing support for you, and that must be hugely important to know that that's what's waiting for you at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've been very lucky, because she, at the start of my career, I turned professional and I wasn't earning very much money, and I was traveling, and I was staying away from home for longer periods than I do now, because I couldn't afford to come back home all the time. So Christine stayed at home, and she gave up a career. Christine's a very clever girl. She has a degree in criminology and criminal justice. She wanted to obviously further that, but because of me being away from home for so long, she couldn't. She had kids to look after. So she sacrificed a lot for me to go and try and fulfill my dreams. I lived off her student loan for pretty much the early years of my professional career. She's a great girl, and it's great to know that I have that support. She's a Belfast woman. Like, she'll never openly say that, but I know I've got it.
And what about your fame? I mean, you're so well known here now. You can't just dander about and not have anyone come up to you. And I've seen you when you're out with Christine and the kids. You're very patient with people, and you're always very polite with them and so on. How do you handle all of that?
I don't know. It's nice, isn't it? If people want to come up and say hello and talk to you and get an autograph or a photograph, it's nice. I always try to think of what it would be like if the shoe was on the other foot and it was me looking to try and speak to someone and I was being blanked or they were being rude to me. I don't think I'd like it. I think it's just... And these are people who come to support me. They come to support me and pay to watch my fights. I remember, actually, it happened to me twice on the one night. I was at Conor McGregor against Floyd Mayweather, a fight in Las Vegas. I seen Bruce Willis. I called him Mr. Willis as well, and I was trying to get a photograph of him, and he turned his back on me, and I thought that maybe he didn't hear me, and I kind of walked around again, and he just turned again back on me, so he turned his back on me twice. So I remember just thinking, yeah, that's, didn't really like it, obviously, and I have a different opinion of him now. So that's the only occasion I've ever met him. Tommy Hearns as well, another fighter, great fighter. I saw him walking out of the arena, and there was no one about at this part where we were. It was kind of out the back end, so there was no fans about. I asked him, Tommy Hearns is a hero of mine, but I asked him, can I have a photograph, Mr. Hearns, please? And I got the photograph, but he done a big sigh, like, as if, like, you know, it's such a hassle to do this. But and it just makes you have a different impression of these people, so I always try to be nice to people. And I understand that these are the people that pay my wages. They come out and support me. And I appreciate it, obviously.
You say that you haven't a business bone in your body, but yet your body and you are your business, aren't you? So you must have thought about where you take that now.
Yeah, well, I don't. You see people with these kind of come up with all these ideas and how they're going to, they have money and how they're going to make their money grow and stuff. I literally do not have a business brain cell in my body. What I would like to do after boxing is get into maybe punditry or something. I've done little bits and pieces of that towards the end of my career. Sky seem interested. They've had me on a few times. BT have had me on a few times and seem interested. So that's as about as business-minded as I am, really. So if I could fall into something like that after boxing, I'd be quite happy.
And what about coaching or the gym? I mean, you've always been very keen to encourage other youngsters, obviously not to the point where they're going to beat you, but, yeah. You know, would that be something that you would think of?
I would always like to mentor people and help them and help guide them. And if anybody's ever looking at advice in the boxing world, if I couldn't give anybody any advice, I would always try to help people out. I think it's important when you're in a position to do so that you do that. But coaching just takes up too much of your time. I've given up so many years and been years away from my family that coaching is too time consuming. My trainer, for example, Jamie Moore, has maybe 8 or 9 professional fighters to look after. So when one's getting ready for a fight, and he has the fight, the fighter can go and have a break, but the coach has to get back in for the next guy getting ready for another camp. And the same with amateur boxing. These guys, the amateur coaches are like the lifeblood of communities. They give up so much of their free time, money out of their own pocket, just to try and help kids. That's all they're doing. And I would always like to mentor people. Coaching, I think there's too much time involved, and you would just have to give up your life again and almost forget about your kids and your wife again for another decade or so.
Do you think of having your own gym?
I've thought about getting involved in that and having my own gym and having community projects there and helping children in need, I suppose, and people in need. I've thought about that, and I have people that I'm talking to as well about that at the minute. So that's something that I would probably like to get involved in after boxing. But a hands-on, full-time coach, it requires so much. It just takes over your life again. So that's why these guys, Billy McKee and Cooper McClure here behind me, are so important to communities, really.
I mean, 2020 was the big year for you, wasn't it, really? As with many businesses and people, you know, had all kinds of things they were looking forward to in their lives, which have just been put on hold, really, since March. Did you think when COVID happened, did you think that could have ended your career?
There was a thought at a stage that was going to happen. I was meant to fight. It was penciled in for me to fight Jamel Herring for a world title fight, Windsor Park, June 13th or 14th or something, I think the date was. And then obviously COVID struck the world and that wasn't going to happen. So it was a thought that potentially, what do I do from here? Is this fight ever going to happen? But, you know, lucky enough, I've got a good team behind me and they've been able to make sure that this fight's going to happen. Whether there's any sort of a crowd, I don't know. Potentially it's going to be behind closed doors, which is a shame, but I'm one of the lucky ones who's able to fight on these big productions and get paid and not have to have a crowd there. So I understand that I'm really lucky, but it was a worry, I suppose, for me and for everybody else.
And when you look at the kind of businesses around you, you know, you've talked very much about how you need to have that mental strength. You know, you have an innate decency and integrity yourself, and you've obviously just decided that you need to battle your way through this and get to the point where you have the fight that you want. What do you think that businesses can learn from you from all of this?
Well, it's extremely difficult for people in that world, and I know people with small businesses who are really struggling, who are waking up every single morning stressed out about the future and about what's going to happen. I think resilience is really important in any walk of life, not just sport, but in business. And it's things you teach your kids about being resilient, and you're not always going to win everything, and everything's not going to come easy. You have to always try hard for things. So I don't want to preach to anybody, but it's hard. There's always light at the end of the tunnel, and I think having a bit of resilience can go a long way. And hopefully in the not too distant future, this is something that we look back on and we kind of talk about the memories and the things that's helped us kind of, you know, I spent more time with my family over lockdown than I ever did since I was a professional boxer. So that's a positive I can take out of it, and think other people can use it, try and find the positives, and keep pushing forward. But being resilient is so important in anything you do.
And for those sort of guiding principles that have got you through life up to now, through growing up, through your boxing, kids and everything else, are those the sort of transferable principles that you think will carry you on into the next part of your life?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I've always had this idea in my head that I'm going to sacrifice now and put a lot of effort into everything that I do now while I'm boxing. And hopefully the next part of my life, I can sit with the feet up, certainly for a while anyway. But there'll be a time where I have to get up off my backside and do something. And I think the things that I've learnt from growing up, from being as a young kid in Midland ABC, about never giving up, about having the right attitude, about being respectful to myself and the others, and all these type of attributes that I've learnt as a kid, I know I can take them into the future with me, and whatever I'm going to do in 10, 20, 30 years from now, I'll be able to use them to my advantage.
And what about that big fight? When do you think it's going to take place? When are you going to get this third title?
The 19th of December is a date that's been mentioned to me, so it hasn't been 100% confirmed yet, but that's the earliest it's going to be, possibly maybe after that, but I'll be certainly ready, and I'm training now towards the 19th of December, and this is a huge opportunity for me, and I'll do whatever it takes to win that fight.
Well, Carl, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time and for all of your personal thoughts as well about resilience and carrying through to the future. It's been a pleasure having you here. This has been a Danske Bank Advantage podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it too, and join us for the next one.